Well, I am more than excited to be here. And in a second, we're going to look at a clip of one of my most favorite movies ever made. So in a second, we're going to watch a clip from Avengers Endgame. Before we watch the clip, I just want to see how many people have seen the movie. Just raise your hand if you've seen the movie. All right. Some people have seen it. Some people haven't seen it. Okay. If you haven't seen it, it's all right. You will not be confused as we go through this. But let me just give you some information about Endgame before we get started. It is the most popular superhero ever made. And it is one of, if not the highest grossing movies ever made. Endgame is the culmination of almost 12 years of movie making, leading to this one huge film. And the reason that I'm excited to talk about Endgame is because we can learn some massive lessons from Endgame. So what I want to do now is, first off, I didn't even welcome you all. How rude of me. Welcome to all the people here in the house on campus. Welcome to those of you all who are joining us online. This is marvelous. You were made for more. Our superhero series that we're going to go through, and this is, Lord willing, not the last time you will see me bringing a message. I believe that the idea is for Pastor and I to do these messages together, and I have the privilege of bringing you Endgame. So I want to pray, then we are going to watch the trailer for Endgame. Now, before I pray and before we watch the trailer, I got to give you some rules, all right? These are movie rules. When that trailer rolls, I don't want to hear a sound. All right? Check your cell phones. Put them on vibrate. When that trailer rolls, something in my brain just, and I'm in the theater. And I will fight people if I hear sounds or talking. And that's real. For those of you all online, some of you all watching know you've been to the movies with me. So, let's pray and get started, and then we will jump into today's message. Lord, I thank you for the privilege just to be here, Lord, and to be able to bring your word today as we look and see what we can learn from the movie Endgame, Avengers Endgame, God. So many different messages that are in the movie that we can learn and we can glean spiritual principles from. So I pray that you would bless our time here together today. I pray that the words that I speak would have impact for those that are here in the house at Encounter Life Church, for those who might be listening at home, that we would learn something that would help us to change our lives, to grow in our relationship with you. Bless all those who are with us in the house, those who might be on their way, those who are at home as well, and Pastor and his family as well while they are away. Thank you, God, for this honor and this privilege to speak. Speak through me, be with me, as I bring today's message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's roll the clip. Remember what I said.
God, seems like a thousand years ago. Seems like a thousand years ago. I fought my way out of that cave. I fought my way out of that cave. Became Iron Man. Became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises. I know I said no more surprises.
I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. The world has changed. None of us can go back. None of us can go back. All we can do is our best. All we can do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is the best that we can do. Is to start over.
Small chance. We owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I like this one.
Got my heart beating, man. I love that movie. And I have seen that movie so many different times. It's ridiculous. I watched it twice just over the course of getting ready for this message because there's so much that we can learn from a movie like Endgame. Now, I want to share something with you so that no one is confused about what's happening here. When you see myself or Pastor Dwayne through this series, and we're making comparisons to movies like Endgame and some of the other movies that you will see when this series is going on. All right, listen closely, right? These are parables. All right? Parables. What is a parable? A parable is simply a story that gives you a moral or a spiritual truth. So, if you hear myself or Pastor Dwayne say in a sermon, this character represents a type of Christ, we are not being sacrilegious. We are saying that you can learn a principle from these films. And I feel like that's important to say so that you understand the concept of what we're trying to impart when we're talking about movies like this and you don't get caught up in the comparison. It is a parable. And I know it's fine for me to say that because who used parables in the Bible all the time? Someone here in the house shouted out? Jesus. That's right. So I just wanted to make sure that you understand that. So we are going to get into Avengers Endgame today. I struggled with what approach to take when talking about this. And I will tell you, like on Saturday at around 12, my wife was like, "Are you finished?" And I was like, "Nope." Because God called an audible. And what I was going to speak about, God said, "You know what? No, Al, I want you to change this a little bit. I want you to change your focus a little bit. We're definitely going to talk about Endgame, but I want you to change your focus a little bit because I feel like the message that I would have you share today is going to be helpful for someone else. Don't worry. I will share the other things that I was thinking about at a different time. Because here's the deal. Now, it's a funny thing about movies, and let me just say this, because movies are never about what they seem to be about on the surface. Endgame is not about superheroes. Endgame is a story about loss. It's a story about grief. It's a story about relationships. It's a story about sacrifice. It's a story about failure. As a matter of fact, any movie you watch where you think it's about one thing, it's normally not. If it's a romantic comedy, normally the character arc is someone who wants the guy, wants the girl, can't have them. Something happens in the movie, in the middle, at the end, the character changes, and the relationship works. So movies are always about storytelling, always about the human experience, and that is why we love movies so much. Now, when it comes to superhero movies, we love movies so much because it is our fascination with the supernatural, with the ability to do the impossible. And the reason that I believe that most Marvel movies have done so well is because they do two things, right? They present heroes that can do extraordinary things. So when you and I see them, we look up to them because of the things that they can do, but they also do something else. Number two, and this is what makes Marvel movies so successful. They present heroes with the human element. Most of the heroes that can do extraordinary things, and we're going to talk about one of those heroes today, They got real problems, y'all, just like you and I. And there's something about that, I believe, in our hearts that causes us to gravitate towards that, and we enjoy the movies so much more because there's a piece of us that likes to think, man, I can identify with him or I can identify with her because they got real problems. So today, we are not going to talk about Iron Man. We are going to talk about Thor. All right? And if you need a title, Thor's Failure is the title. Now, let me try and give you a brief synopsis for those of you all who have not seen Infinity War Endgame. What's going on here? So, essentially, this is what's happening in a nutshell. The universe has lost half of its population. Thanos is the villain in Endgame, and what he says is that the universe is overpopulated. It needs to be balanced. So my plan is I'm going to wipe out half of the population. And that's exactly what happens. There is a glove called the Infinity Gauntlet. That's it right there. So Thanos' plan was to get all of the stones. You can see the stones on my shirt. Once you get all of the stones in the Infinity Gauntlet, it almost gives you limitless power. So the Avengers are trying to stop Thanos from getting these stones. Almost all the movies we've seen since 2008, I believe, is when the first Iron Man came out, up to date, or up to Infinity War, leads to this. So they're trying to stop him from getting the stones. They do not stop him from getting the stones. He gets the stones, and he does something called the snap. He snaps his finger, and like that, half of all life in the universe is wiped out. The Avengers think it's over, but then they find out they have a chance to change things. There might be a chance. We saw that in the trailer. There might be a chance that we can fix this, that we can bring people back. So they start out in Endgame and try to reverse what Thanos has done. And it will be the most epic battle that they have ever had and the most epic battle that we have ever seen on screen before. But we're going to focus on Thor's character because one of the biggest things in Endgame, one of the biggest themes in Endgame is failure. And the reason I felt like the Lord was asking me or telling me to lean into this is because I want to address the issue of failure with Thor and see how Thor's failure relates to ours. So that's what we're going to do today. So a little bit of information about Thor. So Thor is a bit of a role player. Raise your hand if you've heard the name Thor before, for those who are in the house. Yeah, you know who Thor is. All right? He's the Norse god of thunder. Now, the problem with Thor is that Thor cannot get over the fact that they were not able to defeat Thanos. And he considers himself a failure. Now, when you understand Thor's thinking, you understand where he's coming from, because the thing is, Thor always comes through. He's always successful. He does not fail. But he's had to contend with failure throughout the whole Infinity War saga. In Infinity War, two different movies. He could not stop Thanos from killing his brother. He could not stop Thanos from wiping out half of the universe. He could not stop Thanos from having a lot of the friends that he loved and cared for die. He could not stomach his failure. So what we see in Thor is grief. But unlike the rest of the Avengers who began to move on with their life, Thor is not able to move on. He falls into depression. He gives up his hero status, completely lets himself go. Asaya, do we have that picture of Thor up there in the chair? I'm going to put this up and show this to you all. That's what Thor looks like now. Now, you saw the picture of Thor that we first had up. This is what happens to Thor after his failure begins to get the best of him. He completely lets himself go. As a matter of fact, he's shut off from everyone else. He's not talking to any of the other Avengers. He's in a place, essentially, where he's drinking beer, eating snacks, and playing Fortnite. And that's what Thor is doing. So I think for a lot of us, when it comes to failure, we can get stuck when we fail. So we want to look at Thor's story and see what happens, because something does happen with Thor's character, and at the end of the movie, we see a change in him. But this is where Thor is when we start Infinity War Endgame. So, as I told you, they are all trying to restore what happened. They're all trying to reverse the snap. And they're trying to gather the Avengers because they're going to need the whole team to get this done. And then when they go to find Thor, that's where they find him. And he is resistant to trying anymore because he is tired of failing. But they finally do convince him, and then they devise this plan to go back in time and get the Infinity Stones. So what they do is they say, listen, the snap has happened. There's nothing we can do about it, but maybe we have a chance. If we can go back in time and we can get the stones before Thanos does, we can reverse what he's done. So they all go to different places, and they all have assignments to get the stones. Some go here, some go there. Thor goes back to Asgard before his family was killed. And he has a conversation with his mom. And this is the turning point for Thor. I want to play another clip. We have that. It's the Thor's failure clip. And listen to the conversation that he has with his mom.
This body over there, and what was the point? I was too late. I was just standing there. An idiot with an axe.
No, you're no idiot. You're here, aren't you? Seeking counsel from the wisest person in Asgard.
Yes.
Idiot now. A failure? Absolutely.
It's a little bit harsh.
Would you know what that makes you? Just like everyone else.
I'm not supposed to be like everyone else, am I? Mm.
Everyone fails at who they're supposed to be, Thor. The measure of a person, of a hero, is how well they succeed at being who they are.
I missed you, Mom.
There is such good advice that his mom gives her and gives him. And that talk he has with his mom begins what they call in movies Thor's character arc. He starts to change as an impact of that conversation. But there's some important things that we can learn from that, and she makes Thor aware of this, which brings us to our first point, is that everybody fails. Right? Everybody fails. We all fail at times. What you should know, and what is good for me to know, is that your failure does not define who you are. And that's really important for you to understand. For that matter, your success doesn't define who you are. So he gets that message from his mom, and he's really able to take that in. So failure happens to us for a lot of different reasons. A lot of different reasons. Sometimes failure is a result of something that we did not do that we should have done. And we're going to see in a little bit how Thor's main failure was because he was disobedient. It was his ego that got him in trouble. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But there are a lot of different reasons for failure. Let's look at some of them here. And these are not on your slide, so you just have to go with me. Some of the verses you will see, by the way, that I'm going to go over now are not on the slide because I added them later, but all of these verses do come from the NIV. So what's one reason for failure? So sometimes we fail because God is testing our faith. Hear me? Hello. There we go. All right. So sometimes God allows things to happen because He is testing our faith. So sometimes we might want something. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes we might try something. Sometimes God says no. And that failure is not about you, but it's about how God is testing you to see how you would respond to him. Now, I told you all the story a while ago about Johns Hopkins. Some of you all have not heard the recent story. I'm going to share it with you, but I'm not going to share direct numbers about my school loans. So I had something amazing happen to me. I don't know if you all know or not that the president had this program where they were giving student loan forgiveness, and I got every last dime of my student loan forgiven. Now, I will not tell you what the number is directly, but what I will tell you was over $100,000. Gone. Now, what does this have to do with failure? I told you all a story not too long ago in a message that I was trying to get a job because I was trying to get out of the school system. But I didn't get the job, and I was upset, and I felt like I failed. Didn't know why I didn't get it. I was super qualified to get it. I did not get it. But had I gotten it, it would have taken me out of the school system. You know why I got loan forgiveness? Because of all the time I spent in the school system. Now, had I got the job, it would have been something different. So I believe that God was saying, listen, we're going to see what you do here. I'm going to tell you no, and let's see how you act. And I did not act well. I'm just being honest. I was mad. And I had one of the conversations that I had with God. And honestly, look, I'll tell you the truth. I have these conversations with God more than once. I don't understand why you're denying me this. What is the problem here, Lord? I'm not asking for anything bad. Surely it would be good if I could get this. You know that I want to leave. Why won't you do this for me? And he said, I'm not going to do it. And on top of that, I'm not going to tell you why I'm not going to do it. This is a test to see how you respond to the lordship that I have over your life. Let's see what you do. Now, what you don't know is what's coming almost 10 to almost at this point, 15 years later, I'm setting you up for something. Now, how are you going to act? So sometimes when we fail at things, it is because God wants to see how much we will trust him. And one thing I can promise you, from that experience, I have been changed. And my trust level in God went way up here. When I tell you that we would have conversations about the school debt, Pastor Dwayne, David Jean Julian's here, it would be crazy conversations about the school debt. I'd say stuff like, man, dude, wouldn't it be crazy if somehow, like, there was a fire in the records room at the Board of Education and all the files got burned up? Or there was some computer virus. Or what if somebody, some rich dude that I don't even know, just came and wiped out the debt and just drove away? Like, ridiculous stuff. Never thought it was going to happen. To be quite honest, I thought I was going to have to manage that debt for the rest of my life. Because in all honesty, if you pay the minimum payment on it, you'll never get rid of it. Because the interest will outpace the payment. And God said, there it is. All right, gone. Sometimes we fail because God wants to see how well we trust him. Now, sometimes we fail because God is redirecting us towards his will. The verse for that is Proverbs 16:9. It says, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Now, sometimes we fail because God has something else for us to do, and we keep pressing towards something that God does not want us to do. So God says, no, I'm not going to allow you to do this, because he is trying to save us. He has something different for us in mind. Now, the thing that he has different for us in mind might not be the type of thing that I got with school, with student loan forgiveness. I don't know what it would be for you. It could be different for all of us. But sometimes God stops things from happening. Sometimes we give effort to do things and they don't come to pass because he has something different for us to do. Sometimes we fail because our ego gets in the way. And we think that we are powerful enough to complete a task on our own, and we are not. We have overestimated our ability. This is what happens to Thor. Asai, can we put the good picture of Thor back up? Healthy Thor. This is what happens to Thor. So this is not Thor's first encounter with Thanos. Thor had an opportunity to take Thanos out in Wakanda, but he fails. Now, here's why Thor failed. Thor was upset because of all the damage that Thanos had created prior. And when Thor goes to attack Thanos, he does not take him out. He wants to wound him and slowly kill him. He wants him to suffer. And Thor told Thanos long before, "You will pay for what you've done." And then he gets this opportunity to take Thanos out, but instead of doing it the sure way, his ego gets in the way. And because of that, the blow that Thor gives Thanos is not enough. It's not enough. He hits Thanos in the chest with the axe, and you know what Thanos tells him? Thanos says, "You should have gone for the head." And then he snaps his fingers, and 50% of life in the universe is gone. Sometimes we fail because we overestimate our ability to get stuff done. And what you have to understand is that always your ability, no matter what it is, comes from God. Always. I'm not even talking about something necessarily quote-unquote spiritual. It could be preaching, it could be teaching, but it could be your everyday life, the things that you want to do. As soon as you get to the place where you and I feel like we don't need God to do this, I can do this myself, you are ripe for failure. And in Thor's case, the impact is devastating. Half of life is gone. Now, if you saw the movie, I'm sure you probably had the same reaction that I have, and we saw a scene of that in the clip where you see the people begin to dissolve. Those are all the different life forms that got killed in the snap. What they don't show you in the clip is Black Panther is one of those. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I saw that in the theater, I reacted. I was like, no! I was heartbroken. So it cost Thor everything. Our ego sometimes is why we fail. We have to lean on God when it comes to challenges. But I will tell you, before we move on to our next point, the good thing about failure, especially for those of us that are believers, and this is one thing that I've learned just throughout my walk with the Lord throughout the years, is that it's never permanent, and it's never detrimental to the point where it cannot be changed. I want you to think about that. God is managing your life, my life, the life of millions of people around the world, all at the same time, no matter what is happening, no matter if they're failing because of the choices that they've made, no matter what the reason is, he's managing all life. And he says, for those that love me, it doesn't matter what you've done, I'm going to work it out for your good. And the verse for that is very familiar. We know that verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get in my head with things like that when I'm thinking about the Lord. And I just think about, like, how does he do it? How is he managing all of this at one time? To me, just the thought of that is amazing. Another point that I want to make about failure is that we will always rise. Sorry, you guys. I got to keep the water in my hand. You can hear my voice is getting creaky. And that's from Micah 7, verse 8. And it reads, "Do not gloat over me, my enemies. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Micah verses 7 and 8. All right. Point number two is don't let others define who you are supposed to be. This is huge. Now, what I thought was really good about the clip that we looked at when we were listening to what Thor's mother told him, she said something that I thought was pretty profound, which was that Thor, everybody fails at who they are supposed to be. I want you to think about that for a second. Everybody fails at who they are supposed to be. You are not supposed to be how other people define you. That is one of Thor's main problems, is Thor is a role player. Thor is sub fixer. He's the one that gets things done, and he knows that people expect that of him. And when he cannot meet that goal, he considers himself a failure. How many of us are operating in life with the assumption that we are only successful if we do what people think we are supposed to do? You are not defined by what I think you're supposed to do. I should not be defined by what you think I should do. We can't let others determine who we are supposed to be. You know who should determine who we are supposed to be? God determines who we are supposed to be. And when we are thinking about what we should do in this life, who we are supposed to be, it's not about performance for anybody else. It's about God. Now, let me prove to you that God is the one that determines how you should be. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is what it says. It should be up on the screen. There it is. All right. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." Let's go on and read Psalms 131, verses 13 through 17. "For you created my innermost being, for you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God defines who we are. And it's so obvious, right? Because when we read the verse, we see that he created us to be who we are. He had it all mapped out for us before we were born. It's his approval that we should seek. It's his guidance that we should seek. It's not someone else's. You know, this reminds me of a conversation, several conversations actually, I've had with students when I was working at Johns Hopkins. 70% of the students at Johns Hopkins come in and they want to be doctors. Almost all of them. Do you know how many of them really want to be doctors? It's not 70%. You know why a lot of them want to be doctors? Because mommy said you're going to be a doctor. Or daddy said you're going to be a doctor. Or doctors make this much money. Or doctors do this. Or doctors do that. How much impact has been had on our life for the decisions we make that are not for ourselves, because we're trying to please somebody else. We're trying to be who they think we are supposed to be. Get rid of that. You be what God has created you to be. Now, I can't tell you directly what that looks like. Yeah, I can give you some biblical principles about what we all should do as Christians, because certainly there are some things that God calls all of us to do, to love God with all of our heart, to love our neighbor, to fulfill the Ten Commandments. But God has also made us individuals. I believe that he has plans for all of us that go beyond the things that all Christians are supposed to do. As a matter of fact, the verse that says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from that. I believe. Now, there's some different interpretations about that, and I fully admit that. I believe that verse is telling us that when a kid is small and you see that he has a bent towards something or she has a bent towards something, nurture that bent. I do not believe that what that verse is a guarantee that if you bring your kid to church every day, bring them to Bible study, buy them study Bibles, do all this stuff, it's a guarantee that your kid is going to grow up and be the next biblical rock star. I don't think it means that. Now, I'll tell you that for a lot of reasons. My mother did the best that she could with me, and I did a whole bunch of dumb stuff. All right, I'll tell you that as well, because we see people that we know that their parents have pulled into them, and kids grow up and make their own choices. They do their own thing. I don't believe that the Bible in its totality supports that position. I think that what God is saying is that I have made you for certain things. Lean into those certain things. Be what you are supposed to be. I had to get out of the school system. I was not supposed, I was supposed to, is the camera on? All right, let me think. Maybe you need to watch it, let me be careful. No, it's okay. I was not supposed to be a school counselor for as long as I was. My time was up. And I don't mind this, I don't mind saying this, because someone said something to me about, well, you don't want to burn any bridges, and I didn't leave MCPS in a bad way. As a matter of fact, I missed a lot of the kids that I work with, but one thing I can tell you about, well, I wasn't worried about it, is I wasn't worried about burning any bridges, because I wasn't planning on coming back. Because I don't believe that it was God's plan for me to come back. God moved me to something different. What I want to encourage you to do is to find the thing that God wants you to do and pursue that. Seek his face for those things. That's important. All right. Our final point. So, embrace your true self. Embrace your true self. We need your uniqueness. The last thing that Thor's mom says to him is that the true mark of a person or a hero is to be the person that you were meant to be. Embrace how God has made you. Embrace the things that God has laid on your heart for you to do. Don't try and be like me. Don't try and be like them. Don't try and be like her or like him. You be you. God has made you unique for his own purposes. It's not for you to try and be like someone else. Now, some of you all know that I have a YouTube channel and we cover films. And when I first started that channel, I did what most people on social media do. I went to the most successful channels and I tried to be exactly like them. And a lot of us know what we're talking about when we are following these creators and things like that, and we start a channel that's like theirs, we try and imitate them. Let me tell you how much mileage that got me. Zero. Here's one thing I've learned about my small success, what I consider on social media, and I think right now I might have about 15,000 subscribers. But one thing I've learned is that success on any social media platform is about the individual. They are looking for you. They're not looking for me through you. They would just look at me if they wanted to see another me. They're looking for the individual. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for folks that will embrace who they are. That is how you can have on social media thousands, tens of thousands of channels all talking about the same thing, and a lot of them are successful. It's because it's about the creator and how they talk about a thing, not necessarily the thing itself. People are looking for you to be authentic. You be you. Now, the Bible talks about gifts that God has gave us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So God has given us all gifts. And any gift or talent that you have is designed to serve others and to bring glory to God. Now, a lot of us have the same spiritual gifts, but even in the spiritual gifts, and this speaks to the uniqueness of how God has made us, there is a way that we even exercise those gifts that are different. Embrace the difference. When you probably notice the difference when some of us in here are speaking or preaching, we all do not have the same styles. We may all have the gift to teach, but we do not all do it the same. And that is because of what we talked about before. God has created us uniquely. I am a nerd. I like facts. I like things that are thought-driven. I am not, maybe I told you I was going to get a little bit out of character for this. I told you. But I'm not typically high energy. Something happens in the sport. Oh, man, that was cool. I'm not, oh, my gosh, did you see that? It's not who I am. Not who I am. God has created me a certain way, and I need to embrace that. God has created you a certain way, and you need to embrace that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the more you can lean into how God has created you, the more you can accept the uniqueness that God has given you and carry that uniqueness and appreciation for how he has created you throughout your whole life, the more you will enjoy just your daily living. Your average living. And why is that? Because he created you a certain way. This was before you were born. And if you try and be something that you're not, you go against the programming. And it's hard to go against the programming. As a matter of fact, you can only do it but for so long before you get frustrated. Be who God has created you to be. We need that uniqueness. Now, as we get ready to wrap this up, it's important to make that point, because as we move forward in this series, you are going to see the value of the uniqueness of the different heroes on the Avengers team. Or if we cover some DC folks. If I say anything about a DC character up here, you know the Lord has made me do it, because I'm a Marvel fanboy through and through. I see Tanya over there, who's a Wonder Woman, who's a Wonder Woman lady. And I do have some love for Nika, and I do have some love for Wonder Woman. I actually do have a t-shirt that says DC Marvel, and then under it says One Love. I have to wear that. But you're going to see that we all have a part to play in God's army, really, in God's team. And much like the Avengers, we are fighting a battle. All of us are. Now, we don't really recognize it so much because we don't see flying monsters around us and things like that. But I will tell you that there are things going on a spiritual plane that you are not able to see, but that are very real. And the reason you can't see them is because you don't have the ability to see them with your eyes. But if you had the ability to see them, you would see the war that goes on around us. An example I like to give when I talk about that is how our eyes are not able to see some spectrums of light, but they're there. I can't see an infrared right now, but the infrared spectrum is all around me. I just can't see it. The same thing is happening with us. There's a war going on, and God needs the things that He has bred in us to bring to that war because He's given them to us to be effective in helping to fight the war. As we move through the series, we're going to see different heroes that have different powers. And some of those powers to you are going to look minimal compared to people like Thor, compared to people like the Hulk. But you're also going to find that some of the people with the smallest amounts of powers, powers of which if we had a choice, you'd be like, I don't want that. Give me x-ray vision, I want flight, invincibility. Some of the people with the smallest powers had the greatest impact in the battle. And as we cover Endgame more, and we will cover Endgame more, either I will or I know Pastor Dwayne will, we've been talking about kind of the land of this series. You're going to see that as we move through this series. So I want to leave you with some parting thoughts before we pray. And that is just a way to think about failure. Again, everybody fails. It's a part of life. If you fail before, you will fail again. Not the first, won't be the last. Failure is never permanent for God's people. It is always a moment in time. It is there to teach us a lesson. It is there for God to do something that He's doing. But whatever happens in our lives, whatever the events are in our lives, God is using them for our good. So remember that when you fail. And then the final point is embrace who you are. If you do that, you will experience life more successfully. If you don't, if you try and let others control who you are, if you try and be something that you're not, you will be frustrated. So I just want you all to think about that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for movies and entertainment, God. And I thank you for how even in our movies, even in our films, we can glean spiritual principles and spiritual truths. And today, Lord, we were able to look at Thor in Endgame and see kind of what happens with him and how he handled failure and how that relates to our lives and how you want us to interact with failure or when things don't go the way that we hope they should go in our lives. Thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you for no matter what happens to us, you are with us. Our failures are never permanent. As Micah says, we will always get up because you are victorious in the end. And we know that, God. So thank you for being with us. Help, Lord, to guide us. Help us to be the person or the man or the woman that you want us to be, that you've created us to be. Not like someone else hopes that we should be, but Lord, help us to be who you want us to be. And help us to find the thing that you want us to do here on this earth. And give us the passion and the ability and the energy to walk in whatever that is that you have for us as individuals. I thank you, Lord, for our time together. Now, I want to pray for someone that might be here in the house today, and we're still praying, so please keep your eyes closed, head bowed, that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, that is the first step. All of the things that we talked about, all the benefits that we talked about what happens when you fail, they come after you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's really simple to do so. The truth is that God loves you. He loves all of us. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, to forgive us of our sins, so that we may spend eternity with Him in a place called heaven. For those that reject that message, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. There is another destination that we go to, and that is a place called hell. And that is a place where there is eternal separation with God. He does not want that for you. He does not want that for any of us. So he provides a way for us to escape, and that is accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Lord and Savior. So if that's something that you want to do, what I'm going to do right now is lead us in a prayer. If you're watching us at home, you can pray this prayer as well. And if that's a desire of your heart, just repeat after me. There is no magic in these words. It is more so an expression of your heart. It is an acknowledgement that you need God to save you. Here's how the prayer goes. Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I know that I have not been perfect all of my life. Thank you, Lord, that you came to the cross to die for my sins and take away the penalty of my sin, which is eternal separation from you when I die in a place called hell. But you want me to spend eternity with you in heaven, Lord. So I accept the gift that you have given of eternal life. Please come into my heart, save me, and show me how to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you are in the house with us today and you have prayed that prayer, I'm going to have Damon and Tanya just raise your hands for me, please. So Damon and Tanya are behind you. So please just take a look and see who they are. If you've prayed that prayer, we want you to connect with them so that we can show you what the next steps are for your new relationship with God. So please make sure that you see them. You can also see me as well. I will be right there in the front, and I can talk to you as well about what's next. You have just joined the family of God. What do you do next? For those of you all who are online, you should be able to see it on your screen right now. If you did pray that prayer, you can text the word next to 301-804-2520, or you can go to the website, encounterchurch.net/next, and there's a card there that you can fill out, and someone will get back to you with next steps of what to do. So I want to thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope that you were blessed by today's service. I'm really excited about this series. I believe Pastor Dwayne will come back with a message next week. I'm not going to tell you the character, but I'm a little bit mad because he's going to do a character that I wanted to do, and he beat me to it. All right. But I'm really excited about the series. I hope that you all were blessed by the series as well. And I'll ask Brother David G. and Julian to come up and finish us out with offering and prayer.
You all can hear it in my voice, right? My voice is hoarse. And actually, I'm going to share a quick story. Al talked about the importance of our uniqueness, you know, in terms of us being who God created us to be. And I lost my voice because I was watching a boxing match last night. All right? And my sons and I, we were, you know, chest bumping each other and giving each other a high five, and I'm screaming out loud. So I come in, and Wayne is a box head. He loves boxing. And we're dapping each other up, and we're excited about the match, and we're talking about each play and each hit. And Al walks in. Al's a martial art head. So Al came in. I said, Al, did you see the fight? And I'm all hype. And he said, nope. Just like that. He said, I don't even know who those guys are. He said, if it's not martial arts and no one's kicking, I don't see it. But I appreciate that about you, Al. He didn't try to fit in. He didn't say, oh, yeah, I saw the fight. And that's what I love about you. I love the fact that you are so unique. You and I have been friends for years, brother. And we're different. We have similar likes. But what I love about you is that you don't try to be anyone else. You are truly unique. And that's just such a praise. You've blessed me with that characteristic. That's awesome. You see what I get now? My voice is hoarse. All right. It is time for giving. For those of you who are in-house, we have ushers coming around. If you need an envelope, please raise your hand and they will come around and give you an envelope if they haven't done so yet. If you would like to give online, you can see the information on our screen. If you are at home, hopefully now you can see the information on our screen as well. You can give through Cash App. You can give through our website. You can also give through the Givelify app. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. What a great word. Lord God, all of us fail. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that though, Lord God, we fail, Lord, you do pick us back up, Lord God, and you show us, Lord, that we are human. And you show us, Father, for those who know you in particular, Lord God, you have a plan for us. What a great testimony, Lord, that Al shared. How you kept him in that school, Lord God. You didn't give him the job, only later to bless him in a way, Lord God, that he would have never thought of. How awesome you are, Lord God. You provide all things. You give all things. You control all things, even our resources right now. So, Lord, as we give, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would put our full faith and trust in you, Lord God. May we give, Lord, not grudgingly or even under compulsion, Lord, but give as you have blessed us. We pray right now, Lord, that you would refresh our brother Al for bringing the word, Lord, that you would encourage him. And, Lord, we pray also for our pastor who is away, that you would allow him to get some well-needed rest. Bless our time of giving right now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand to your feet, please, as we close. Just a couple of announcements before we close out. You all know that National Day of Prayer is coming up in the month of May. And so we're going to have an in-person hour of prayer time. We're going to, you know, last year, I believe we had our National Day of Prayer online. So we're going to try to gather together as a family on the 4th of May from 7 to 8 p.m. So please, we would love everyone to come join us for National Day of Prayer so that we can pray not just for our local body, but pray for the world, you all, because the world is a mess right now. Amen. The world is a scary place right now. We can't do it on our own power and our own wisdom. So we need to ask God for his wisdom and for his power. Amen. Amen. Brother Al, can you come close us out in prayer? Is that all right? Say, Al comes up.
Right. Okay. Again, thank you all for coming so much. I hope that the message blessed you. Again, Pastor Dwayne will be back next week with another hero. So we're really excited about the series. Continue, please, to wear your superhero t-shirts. Bring a friend, tell someone, because we think the series is really going to bless folks, and we're really excited to share the insights that that God has given us through the marvelous series You Were Made for More. Let's pray. God, thank you so much again for our time together, Lord. I pray that as we go through the series, that we would be changed, Lord. And as even with today, Lord, that we will learn that failure does not define us. Failure is a part of life, Lord, and failure can also teach us valuable lessons of the things that you want us to learn in our lives, God. As we go throughout our week, bless everybody in the house, Lord, the needs that they have met, the needs that they need that may have not been met, Lord, we pray that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, for something extraordinary for those that have a need in here. I don't know what that need might be, Lord, but I pray that you would meet it through any means, even a supernatural means, for those of us who are here in the house and those that are joining us online, God. We pray that you would just be present in our lives in a way that's undeniable as we seek to walk and grow closer with you. Bless us as we go home. Keep us safe in our journeys. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.